And girls, it's your boys locked down. We back, and guess what? Lucky for you guys, because you've listened to it all week long, we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl today.
Yeah.
Who even wants to?
I mean,
Say that Brian Flores, the Patriots defensive coordinator, put on an extremely impressive performance.
Yeah.
An awesome game plan. He's also going to the Miami Dolphins, which I'm really happy about. But yeah, great defensive performance by the Patriots. Shut down Sean McVay's offense. Jared Goff looked like a bum. That's about it.
Chris, you got anything to say?
It was a pretty boring Super Bowl, I would say. I like to see a little more offense. But defensively, that was a great game. If you like defense,
yeah,
that was awesome.
It was a chess match
for
the game.
It definitely, I mean, it was tight the whole way. So it was good as in if it comes down to it being close, but the offenses just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Except for Julian Edelman.
Sloppy. It was a very sloppy.
Yeah. And Julian Gronk's 87 yards that Zach prophesied.
Zach called
you
it.
Heard it last week. 87 yards on the freaking dot. You Failed. Heard it here. I didn't realize that until Monday, and I texted the boys so fast while I was in class. I could not believe it. I was so happy. Like, I am a prophet of the sports realm. I am sure of this by now, but I'm never going to hit anything like that ever again. Yeah, so kind of a crappy Super Bowl overall. I'm happy with the results, and then a lot of people aren't. I was, you know, glad to see, you know, Tommy Goat get another Super Bowl. And, we are, for the most part, I mean, we got the draft coming up in April and little post off-season talk coming up here and there. But for the most part, we are super stoked to get committed to basketball on this podcast again. For the first time since we started this in like September. So that was like the middle of football season. So we're hooping. And we got a good week of trade deadline and craziness, man. It was really, really, really wild.
Not as wild as it could have been.
It could have been still very wild. So we're not gonna go through every single trade today, but we are just gonna kinda pinpoint the highlights and what intrigued us the most out of all the trades and details and our thoughts and opinions. And we're going to get into Anthony Davis later and Kevin Durant and all kinds of basketball talk. So who wants to start off first with the trade deadline?
Let's start with the East, mainly the three top contenders in the East. Sorry, Zach. Now that all the deals have been made, clearly the 76ers, the Raptors, and the Bucks all added huge pieces. The Bucks added Nikola Mirotic. The Sixers added Tobias Harris, which is really, really big for them. And then who else?
Marc Gasol is going to Toronto.
Yeah, Marc Gasol, 34 years old, though, but they didn't really get much back for him.
I love that trade.
Yeah, I like it.
I love that one.
The Raptors didn't really give up much, man.
No.
Like, they basically swapped out Valanciunas for Marc Gasol.
They gave CJ Miles, DeLon Wright, and a second-round pick as well.
In like a couple years.
For 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically they just lost DeLon Wright, who was pretty nice off the bench. That's pretty much it, though.
Yeah. No, I love that trade, man.
He adds
more defense to that team. Mm-hmm. He's a really good defender. And to pair him with Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. that's a big three right there. I mean, I just think that all around, he makes that team a lot better.
Yeah,
and Serge Ibaka, don't forget about him.
Yeah,
Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol front court, that is really good.
They're gonna have to test out some different lineups though, because their best lineup, like their kind of like end of the game, is they use Pascal Siakam and Serge Ibaka mm-hmm. at the 4 and 5, and Pascal is playing really well. So I mean, you could put Serge at the 4, then put Marc at the 5, and see if that increases your production. But definitely, if you just swap out Serge for Marc Gasol, that's an improvement right there on both ends of the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I like the trade as well.
I'm excited for Marc, too, because he's played 11 years for Memphis, and he hasn't done anything really. I mean, he made the playoffs a couple of years, but he has a chance now to contend and win a title. So,
yeah,
it's good.
That's cool for him.
Yeah.
Kind of disappointing for Mike Conley. I heard that he kind of wanted to stay in Memphis. He's got his family there. He's got everything there.
It's understandable.
You know, they want him there to mentor Jaren Jackson, who looks like he could be a pretty good player. But I want to see him play for a winning team, and hopefully either this offseason or the year after, he'll go to a good team. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, the trying to find it on my notes. So the Bulls getting Otto Porter Jr. for Jabari Parker. The Wizards got Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, and a 2023 second round pick. The Bulls got Otto Porter Jr. That was one of the bigger significant trades out of the last two or three days, and that one intrigued me the most only because it. I mean, if you're looking at Washington right now, they're kind of suffocating underneath John Wall's $170 million straitjacket now that he's hurt with a ruptured Achilles after he fell in his house, right? Something like that.
He was already out with an injury, and then he,
I don't know. Giving away Porter for Parker and Portis, it seemed kind of weak in my eyes, but it was a bit of salary dump. A lot of these trades that we're going to talk about were salary dumps as a whole. That one stuck out to me for, just breaking into the conversation. But
yeah, because Porter still has like three more years on his deal.
Yeah. And who takes the salary on that one?
Oh, the Bulls take it all.
Okay. That's what I thought.
It says that he's owed $27.3 million next year. And he has a player option for the 28 and a half the following season.
Yeah, which I'm sure he'll take. You're not going to turn down $28 million.
Nah.
And all he is a spot up shooter. So he's not going to get more money in free agency. So
it doesn't really make sense to me, though, that the Bulls did that. It's like, they're not good anyway. It's just tank and get Zion.
I think they're just being there. It starts off with them being realistic about their cap space and, trying to look for the future a little bit. But it's true. Like, you almost want to see them get a guy like Otto Porter and be like, great, can we just bench you for the rest of the year? Because we're trying to tank here. So, but they're not. That's not how it necessarily works.
I'm calling it right now. The Bulls are not going to get the first round. They're not going to get the first overall pick. And they're going to pair Ja Morant up with Otto Porter. Any other pieces they've got? They have Wendell Carter Jr. They got Zach LaVine. They got good young pieces.
I like that roster. Yeah.
And then you could have Chris Dunn as a sixth man coming off the bench. So I think that's what they're trying to do. They want to get a Klay Thompson kind of spot up shooter guy, because Ja Morant, he can shoot, but he's not very efficient from three. So they want to make sure they got a lot of shooting around him. So I think that's the plan for them, unless they get the one overall pick and then they'd get Zion, because why wouldn't you get Zion? But
yeah.
Now that I look at this though, the Wizards, like, why did they do this?
They don't want Otto's contract, man.
But at the same time, Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis are going to be free agents next year. And the second round pick, who knows how good that's going to be.
Yeah. The thing is, they had almost all of their money in three players.
Yeah.
And Wall, Beal, Porter. So now at least you can alleviate almost a quarter of that money. John Wall's getting like $40 million, something ridiculous, because he got the Supermax deal.
If he can play again.
If he can play, he ruptured his Achilles, man. That's bad. And he mainly relies on his speed. So, that's not good. But, I mean, at least they got out of that contract. So now maybe they can sign some players. Yeah. I don't think they want to trade Bradley Beal. I think they should. I think they should just go like full rebuild mode. But I don't think they want to trade Beal yet.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see, man.
Yeah. There's another big trade that I'm sure you guys both have your inputs on this, but the Clippers and the 76ers trade, that was a big one. I'll read through all the players here. The 76ers received Tobias Harris, Boban, which I'll get into in a second. Actually, I'll just say it right now. Boban and Embiid. Oh God. That scares me.
They kept the best friends together. Have you seen all the memes?
Yeah.
The Tobias Harris Boban memes, dude. They're best friends. And they kept
Mike Scott too.
I'm about to get into my opinion. Okay, they got Mike Scott.
Michael Scott is back in Pennsylvania. How are we not talking about this more?
That's true. Michael Scott is in Pennsylvania.
Come on.
The Clippers receive Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, Landry Shamet, a protected 2020 first round pick, an unprotected 2021 first round pick, a 2021 second round pick, and a 2023 second round pick. So that was a really, really big trade. I'm going to say my thoughts from the perspective of a Celtics fan, and you guys can say it as a unbiased or in low-key biased 76ers fan. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I
but
was just a lot after this.
My optimism my douchebag optimism says, LOL, but do you remember when Jimmy Butler was supposed to vault the Sixers past Boston? That is my optimism speaking, saying, it's okay, we got this. But as you can hear the quiver in my voice as I say that, the one part that makes me nervous, a couple of things at least, if this works, if they can sync up as a team, especially with Tobias Harris most likely on the starting five, makes me nervous because, like Matt said earlier, the top of the East, like that's four teams, the top four of the East, that's four teams that could all make finals runs. And that makes me super nervous for a Celtics team that has identity issues a lot of the time, that isn't really sure what they are halfway through games. Like, we play the Lakers tonight, and I literally do not know what to expect from them.
The Lakers, they don't know what to do, man. Players, they're giving up. They've given up.
It's true.
More like the Los Angeles Lakers.
That was a good one. Yeah. Is LeBron playing tonight?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, so like,
well, he's currently drafting an all-star team, so I don't know.
Are they doing that before the game?
They're doing it as we speak.
Like, it's live?
Yeah.
Wow. Let's see. Another thing that makes me nervous for Boston is the Clippers. I mean, they look poised to drop out of the playoff race, yeah, which is good. We hold their I'm sorry, this doesn't make me nervous. This is a good thing for me that
the Kings first round pick. So I mean,
I read my note wrong. Yes. Yeah. So the Kings, they're in the playoff hunt right now.
Dude,
they added
Harrison Barnes.
That pisses me off.
That was their
draft pick.
That was their one weakness, was having like a big wing that could defend and shoot threes, and they go and get like a really solid wing three and D player. And it's like, all right.
There's just like
like in the playoff.
I mean, we're gonna save an entire segment for Anthony Davis, so we're gonna hold that till after the trade deadline talk. But I am optimistic that Danny Ainge gets to make his run at Anthony Davis. He gets to throw out his offer on for the Pelicans. But they were super quiet today for the trade deadline, which I expected. I knew that the Celtics were gonna be quiet, but.
They traded their woman beater, so that was a good idea.
They did. I'm glad Bird is out of there. I think we got some money out of that, which is good. I didn't like, let's just give us the cash and get out of here. But Enes Kanter is a free agent right now. I'm hoping that Boston waves him. That would be a good big man to carry on.
Did the Knicks buy him out?
They just released.
No, they cut him.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't want to be there anyway.
That was right towards the closing hours or closing minutes of the trade deadline.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so there's potential there,
there's going to be some guys that teams can pick up now. I know the Celtics have a spot because of the Jabari Bird trade. The Lakers have a spot because of they traded Michael Beasley and Zubac for Mike Muscala. And like Wayne Ellington's going to be a free agent. Who else? Oh, I've heard that the Lakers might get Carmelo Anthony, and I'm like, why?
I mean,
get Wayne Ellington. You're an idiot if you don't.
That's such a fantasy basketball move if that happens.
Yeah.
So bad.
Hey, I want to go back to the Sixers Clippers trade. I have like kind of mixed feelings about it. I think this year for the Sixers, it's a really good trade. Tobias Harris just brings, I mean, he's a very good shooter, very good all around player. He's very close to being an all-star.
Yeah,
he's shooting more than 40% on his three-pointers this year. Yep. But at the same time, it's a risk. And they've acquired two all-star players this year in Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, who will have expiring contracts. And they gave up a lot. I mean, they gave up two firsts, two seconds, and Wilson Chandler, Landry Shamet, and Mike Muscala.
Yeah.
But they were able to recoup some of those losses with Markelle Fultz. Which is what I think might have been the best deal of the trade deadline. Honestly, they got a first, a second, and a pretty good role player.
Ridiculous
for Markelle Fultz.
That was huge.
So they were able to recoup some assets, which was important. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, they did lose a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I love the trade because this means they don't have to re-sign Jimmy Butler.
No.
They're saying they're going to re-sign all four players, but I bet you that's just because they want to keep them all happy.
They shouldn't even sign Jimmy Butler back.
That's. I don't think they're going to. Honestly, no. I think that's why they did this deal.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Was because they're gonna be like, We're going to take care of all of our guys. Tobias Harris, max contract. Jimmy Butler, yeah, go see what you can get, bud. Yeah. Like, at the end of the season, that's what's going to happen. I'm convinced. I mean, because you don't want Jimmy with a long-term deal with Ben, two guys who aren't great three-point shooters. Well, Ben doesn't shoot threes, and Jimmy Butler shoots at a low percentage. So, yeah, that don't work.
The Sixers are a desirable destination for free agents anyway, so I wouldn't blame – Tobias Harris is probably going to re-sign long-term with them. I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, for the Clippers, I like what they did there. You know, Tobias Harris has
assets.
They gave up a guy who, I mean, they're probably not going to go anywhere this year. They might, if they do, they're going to be an 8 seed and get swept.
Yeah, no, they're not going to make the playoffs.
But you know, they give away a guy that has an expiring contract, and then they get two first, two seconds, and three solid players. I mean, they traded Muscala, and they got two good players in return.
And now they're going to have cap room.
Exactly.
Well, they're going to cut Beasley, but they're keeping Zubac.
So for both sides, I like both trades.
Me too. I like it. I think Jerry West did a great job trying to rebuild the Clippers with this move. And I think the Sixers are the favorites in the East, in my opinion. But the Bucks are right there, though, man.
Dude, the spacing on that team. Oh, my Lord.
Everyone can shoot now. It's nuts. Oh, my gosh. There's so much shooting.
Just wait till playoff time. And now they have another weapon. And Mirotić, who's averaging like 16 and 8 this year,
so good before the trade deadline. And
like schematically, they might be able to beat the Sixers only because they have a lot more shooting. The Sixers got some players, but like the Bucks are like they're the best 3-point shooting team in the league, right behind the Warriors, and they added like probably the best shooting big men in the NBA. And it's like,
yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, they got Brook Lopez and Nikola Mirotić, two best front court shooters.
And how do you stop a big shooting team like that? Like,
and then you have Giannis, who could just destroy everybody.
He can do everything. And now he has more assets for him to do. It'd be like if you give assets to James Harden, he would dominate if he'd share the ball.
But I don't know how you stop them.
You can't.
Like, if you take the center or the power forward out of the paint because you have to, because they can both shoot three-pointers, who's going to stop Giannis? No small forward in the NBA can stop Giannis. It's impossible. What do you do?
It takes him three dribbles to get down court and to dunk the ball.
The Rockets is easy. The 76ers did it before the trade. Corey Brewer shut him down. Mm-hmm. And then he scored like 27 points and they blew him up by like 40 points or something. Yeah. You can stop the Rockets. But like, oh my gosh, this team is good. Now, we don't know how they're going to shoot during the playoffs. They could stop shooting well, and that would mean the end of their playoff run, because pretty much they rely on that three-pointer just like the Warriors do, honestly.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, these were big trades for all teams.
Yeah. Another, what's that?
I just wanted to say real quick, if we're still in the East.
Yeah, let's say the East.
This was a big deal because all three teams at the top made huge improvements, but Boston. And this is an issue for me because I only saw Kyrie staying with the team if, like, either they made the finals or, like, maybe got to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They might just be out by round 2 at this point. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, if they lose Kyrie, they're not going to make the deal for Anthony Davis because you're not going to give up all your assets. So, they're in a rough spot.
That was the whole purpose of getting Kyrie, is to bring in another big name, and Anthony Davis became – I'm sure long-term Danny Ainge was already looking at that, saying we got to put AD and Kyrie together.
Yeah.
And it's going to take an act of God to come down and tell Anthony Davis, you know what's best for you. Don't go to L.A. Go to Boston. Don't listen to your father. Go away with your father and do what you want to do, which is come to Boston and play with Kyrie. Who did LeBron? I just saw his first five. Who did he pick for the All-Star?
Oh, it was insane. Okay, well, Team Giannis is right in front of me. He drafted Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, and it just went away.
I think it was LeBron.
I think LeBron had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, and James Harden.
And Anthony Davis and Klay Thompson. He just got those two.
He didn't draft Dwayne Wade?
He did.
Of course not. Pick. He had
last,
days,
last pick,
D-Wade.
He got LeBron got D-Wade.
Last pick.
Oh, yeah,
disrespectful.
Yeah. Anyway,
Dirk's the very last pick.
So we're gonna get a little bit of a AD and Kyrie for the All-Star game, which I actually am gonna watch. I'm kind of excited for the All-Star game this year, but I don't know why, but it's better than the Pro Bowl. That's probably why. Okay. So there was a trade between an East and a West team, but I want to keep it directed at the East. The Suns and the Heat were engaged in a trade, as I just said. The Suns receive Wayne Ellington and Tyler Johnson. The Heat get Ryan Anderson. Matt, fellow Heat fan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I love the Heat so much. Yeah.
And those Marlins, so, okay, too. Miami's killing it right now.
So here's the thing, right? You get a guy in Tyler Johnson, right? That's like, first of all, the Brooklyn Nets a couple years ago, I'm going to give him like $24 million a year. And I was like, let him go. He's going to make his money. That's great. And the Heat are like, we're going to match it. And I'm like, okay. So that means he's going to be our starting shooting guard. That's fine. I'm cool with that. He can shoot threes. He gets to the rim. He can hit free throws. He plays good defense. I'm cool with that. No. Eric Spoelstra is like, I'm going to start Rodney Magruder. The dude can't shoot. He can't score. He's like a worse version of Andre Roberson. That's all. He sucks. And I'm like, okay. Well, then maybe, like, he'll be the sixth man. Well, Dwayne Wade's the sixth man, so it doesn't really work that way. And so this team is weird, right? Because when Tyler Johnson gets minutes, he plays well. When Wayne Ellington plays minutes, he plays well. But they're both two guards. So I'm like, okay, maybe you trade one of them. Dwayne Wade retires at the end of the year, and then one of these guys becomes your starting shooting guard. What this move says is they're going to move forward with Rodney Magruder as their starting two guard, and I'm about to explode. Why? I hate this.
It says that the Heat were like trying to get out of the tax or something, like they're trying, yes, to save money, but so, they treated their starting two guard.
So, okay.
I don't know.
Well, no, Rodney Magruder's starting two guard. Don't get it twisted.
Well, Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington are better than Rodney Magruder.
They're much better than Rodney Magruder.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the thing is, by doing this deal, they save like a total of $5 million, which just barely takes them under the luxury tax, which is great, I guess. I don't know why you couldn't have traded like James Johnson. He's on contract for three more years at like $23 million, and he sucks.
God.
Like, this team is constructed so poorly. And then you add Ryan Anderson. Listen to these bigs that this team has, all right? They got Kelly Olynyk signed for three more years. They have Ryan Anderson signed for 2 years. And then they have James Johnson signed for 3 years.
Nice.
These guys all play the same position. What are you going to do? You have over half your salary cap on three guys in the same position. Whoa.
That's kind of like if you're doing like a fantasy draft in 2K and you give the controller to like your little brother and you're like, hey, just go ahead. I got to go to the bathroom and just make the next three picks. And he's like, oh, these are cool names, but he doesn't actually look at the position. Right. It's basically what happened here.
Uh-huh. Apparently the starting point guard is Justice Winslow.
Yes. Goran Dragic has been out all year, pretty much. Wow. So Justice Winslow starting at the point guard, and he's actually a pretty good point guard. I was really hoping they would trade Goran Dragic, because I love Justice at the one, because then it allows Josh Richardson to always stay on the court, and then they can play with like Derek Jones Jr., and it allows really like unique lineups. But now they traded away two of their guards, and they still have Rodney Magruder, who I hate, and then they have like three power forwards who all play the same style of game.
Oof.
I thought Derek Jones was a small forward, and I thought Ryan Anderson was a power forward, because according to ESPN's depth chart, they have them flip-flopped.
Well, Derek Jones is kind of like a Draymond Green small ball power forward.
Okay.
He'll play like in their depth lineup. He'll play power forward because he can shoot, and he can, you know, dunk, and he can play good defense. So.
But Ryan Anderson's a small forward?
I don't know what that's about. Ryan Anderson's a power forward.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, geez.
So
they have Dwayne Wade and Deion Waiters, too, at shooting guard. When they're healthy.
So that's the thing, right? Is that now, next year, Dwayne Wade will be retired.
He's gone. Yeah.
Deion Waiters hopefully will be the starting shooting guard. That's the hope. He'll come. You know, he just came off a really, really nasty injury. He just came back.
Yeah.
The hope is that next year he's going to be fully healthy. When he was fully healthy last year, he was playing really, really well. So That's the hope. You put Justice at the one. Maybe you can trade Gordon's contract. You know, Deion Waiters, Josh Richardson, Derek Jones, Hassan. Maybe trade Hassan. I hate his contract. He's making like 20 million. Oh, my gosh. This team's a mess. You know they have the highest salary cap in all of basketball?
Really?
Wow.
Part of the reason is because they still owe Chris Bosh like $24 million. But still. And after this year, Chris Bosh finally comes off the books. I'm so happy. Because all of his contract was guaranteed, and then he had that sickness, so he was still getting paid upwards of this year.
I think they're retiring his number too, right?
Yep, and they're retiring his number. I'm happy about that.
Nice.
I hope him, Dwayne, LeBron all get their number retired in like one section of the area. That'd be cool. But 2021, man. I'm waiting for 2021 for the Miami Heat. Yay!
Yeah. Yeah. Any other East teams you guys want to talk about?
The Magic.
Ooh, getting false.
Didn't Obama get hurt?
He did get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real shame for them.
But I don't know what went in the Magic's mind for getting Fultz.
Look, Jonathan Simmons wasn't really in their in their lineup. The first and the second round pick are probably going to be around like 28-32. That's like a safe bet because it's OKC's first round pick and then Cleveland second round. Those aren't terrible picks. Those are like two mid-draft picks, so like it's okay. But listen, Markelle Fultz got picked number one overall, so he's got some potential. So
I'm just waiting for him to shoot a regular free throw and not double pump fake.
We'll see, though. He's going to be on a horrible team.
It's a risk. But
it's a huge risk, but he's going to be on a horrible team now, which means he doesn't have to worry about missing some shots. He can miss.
He has a chance. He has an opportunity.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know?
I just wouldn't do it.
I mean, same.
Fair.
You're a bad team, and then you trade away like your only first-round pick. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. It's for Markelle Fultz. Jeez. Yes.
Good old Fultz.
Let's talk about this. We're gonna jump out of it. Zach, you want to talk about any other East teams? Are you good?
No, I'm good. I did want to bring. I had a question for you guys. So the Mavericks and the Kings had a trade. Mavericks got Justin Jackson and Zach Randolph, who ended up he got released right by the Mavs.
Did he?
After
did he wave? Why would they waive Zach Randolph?
I don't know.
He's on a one-year deal and he sucks.
That is yes. That to keep it short, yes, that's not the question I had. So yes, the Kings got Harrison Barnes. The interesting thing about this Harrison Barnes trade was he was traded mid-game. Like literally in the middle of the game, he got traded. There can be a lot of talk. You know, there are logistics to this trade, like I get it, but there's a lot of talk of where can the line be drawn between this is a game that, you know, these guys grew up wanting to be these superstars, the NBA, and they're living out their dreams, but it's also a business, you know? So like, when you see it, this happen, when you see Harrison Barnes getting traded mid game and coming off the court to find out he's no longer a part of this team and he's going to Dallas, he's going to Sacramento. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you think the line is drawn between, you know, this is a business and this is, you know, a sport, guys?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll start. I mean, listen, this is why, like, I'm okay with people doing like what Anthony Davis did, because man, teams just treat you like assets, unless you're like LeBron James or like Kevin Durant. Like, you just get treated as an asset. That's all you are. That's all Harrison Barnes was for the Dallas Mavericks organization. He was just an asset. And what a pro, by the way. Harrison Barnes, like, full props to that guy, man. He got taken out of the game. They were like, he's not on the team anymore. You're getting traded. And he's like, I'm going to sit on the bench, and I'm going to support my teammates. And he was in every timeout. Yeah. Every timeout, high-fiving his teammates. Just fantastic class act. He came off, and then in the interview, his exit interview, he was, like, praising the organization and all his teammates. And such a good guy, man.
That's awesome.
I've always liked Harrison Barnes, even when he was on the Warriors. But yeah, this just made me like him even more. But I mean, again, that's like I was saying. I'm okay with it because players now have their own freedom. They can be like, hey, I want to trade. I don't want to be here anymore. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it kind of sucks that they did it in the middle of a game. But I don't know. I don't feel too strongly against it. It was a jerk move. But organizations has proved time and time again, they are jerks, and they'll do whatever they want to succeed.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Celtics. Kind of like Celtics lying to the Cavs about Isaiah Thomas's injuries.
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
a
dick move.
Yeah. But they ended up getting a lot of assets out of it. So.
Yeah. So.
Sometimes it's what it takes.
Now, it can hurt your reputation in the league, which is what people have been talking about the past couple weeks with Celtics. Yeah. I don't know if that's really even true, to be honest, but people have brought it up. So,
I think if talking about that, if you know, you're looking at a guy like Danny Ainge in the Boston Celtics front office, that they do whatever possible to make the move. You know, a lot of people could point the finger and say, and this isn't even me just like supporting my team. Like when Isaiah Thomas got traded, that hurt. That stung a lot because I was a big Isaiah guy. But you had to look at the first part of the situation of, you know, they're trying to move forward. They were already stepping forward with Isaiah at the point, but they knew they could go farther by getting a guy like Kyrie. And so that was the next step, you know. But so you look at situations like that and you think, oh, well, they're just being, you know, dicks in this situation. Like, what the heck? And the other GMs might point the finger until the offer comes their way to get a guy, let's just say a guy like if Jason Tatum's getting offered, and they're like, well, hold on. Remember that thing that I said about you being a dick? I take that back because I like that offer, you know? And at the end of the day, this is a business, and they're trying to succeed and bring home that paycheck and bring home that title for their franchise. If you're looking at it in the correct way of sports, that we're not all in it for the money. We're also in it for the glory of, you know, winning that, you know, championship. So
and when you're this close to the trade deadline as well, when they like offer you a trade, you don't know if some other team's going to call for a good 3-and-D wing defender. You know, if you're like, well, let's wait a couple hours till the game's over, you know, then another team might be like, hey, they may call like the Kings and be like, hey, we want to do a deal. Or another team might call the Mavs, give them a better deal. You know, so when you're this close to the trade deadline, it's nuts. It's chaos. Things like this will happen. But I think it's just a part of the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. My take is it doesn't really bother me that he got traded mid-game. You know, it's nothing he could control. Of course, it's unfortunate that he did get traded in the middle of the game, but it's a business. If a deal can be done and it happens to be during a game, so be it, you know. It just happens. So it doesn't bother me. I feel for Harrison, and I appreciate the way that he handled the situation, as you said. But yeah, it's a business. Things happen. You may not agree with it, but it just the way it is.
And Harrison Barnes is making $25 million. So let's go ahead and just
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, he's going to a better team anyway, probably.
Yeah, going to a better team, and the Kings are looking to extend him.
They're on the come
which
up.
Is kind of weird, you know, to say.
Yeah, well, the Kings, they do, and they have a hard time getting free agents. So Windhorst was talking about it, and he was like, "Yeah, I think they're going to try to re-sign him because." They're not gonna get like Kawhi or like Kevin Durant. They're in Sacramento, So if you get a guy like Harrison Barnes who can play the wing and he can defend, you know, why not try to re-sign him? I get that they got cap space, so
great locker room veteran.
Yeah,
for that team that they really need. They're very young.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Any other? I mean, we barely really even touched it, but are there any other? What are some West Coast trades that you saw that caught your eye?
The Rockets made some moves. They got some players. They got a shooter in James Ennis.
They got James Ennis.
Yeah, I like that. I feel bad. Nick Stauskas and
Wade Baldwin.
Nick Stauskas, Wade Baldwin, and Stanley Johnson all got traded twice this in the past like 3 days.
Correction. Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin got traded 3 times in 2 days.
Oh, that sucks. God. What were what were the teams that got traded from?
Oh
gosh, where did they start? I don't remember.
I was just looking at the distance traveled for those poor guys. I mean, if they even like moved,
they probably don't even know what team they play for right now.
The Cavs.
No. No, the Rockets.
They were on the Trailblazers originally.
Yes.
Yeah, they were on the Trailblazers, and they went to the Cavs, and they got. Yeah.
Okay, so they were in their third trade this week, and then they're just gonna be cut.
Yeah. Now,
oh, that sucks. Ow.
Okay, here's the story. They began their week as members of the Trailblazers. Then they were traded to Cleveland. Then Cleveland traded them to Houston. And then Houston traded them to Indy. and now they're going to get cut.
What the hell? That sucks. That sucks.
So they were on four teams in a span of 2 or 3 days, and now they're going to sign with somebody else.
Ooh.
Those poor guys.
Can you just actually say that the Cavaliers actually made a good trade? I can't believe what I'm seeing right
now. About time, yeah.
They got a 2019 first-round pick from the Rockets. It won't be a great pick, but it's a first-round pick. They got Marquese Chriss, who I believe if you give him an actual role and you let him play, he can be pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the Kings got Alec Burks, who is, you know, a solid two-guard off the bench. I don't mind that at all. They need bench depth, and I think he's going to help them a little bit. Yeah.
Did you know the Cavaliers have acquired 8 draft picks this season alone?
Dang.
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
They've been in garage sale mode all season.
Yeah.
Tell you what though, Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin ought to just see if they can make it on every team in the NBA. Might as well just see if they can get 32 teams.
I mean,
they already made 4 or 5.
I mean, I get why Nick Stauskas was traded, because Trailblazers got Rodney Hood, who's just like a better version of Nick Stauskas. So like, I get that. But the dude can shoot. Like, he's, really not like he's, dark.
He's only 25, and Wade Baldwin's 22. So.
I mean, Wade Baldwin still has some potential in him. But, I mean, Nick can shoot. Like, I don't know.
So he's 25, and he's played for, like, 8 teams already.
Yeah, I know.
Played, in quotes.
And then let's see. That was pretty weird.
That's crazy.
The Kings finally gave up on Skal Labissiere, which is funny.
For Caleb Swanigan?
Yeah. They finally gave up on him, which is fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The West didn't have too many other than the Clippers and the Clippers deal, really.
No, it was all the East for the most part.
I just realized this happened because it was one of the – it was the first trade of the day. The Pelicans got Markieff Morris. Why am I excited about that? I'll tell you why. I think it is destiny. It is fate for the Morris brothers to be together on the same team again in some way, shape, or form, whether it's in New Orleans or it's in Boston. The homies are going to be on the same team by next season because of Anthony Davis. One of the two are going to happen. Either Marcus Morris is going to be put in a package to New Orleans, or Markieff Morris is going to be used as just more compensation, not that you need anymore, with Anthony Davis sent to Boston in the offseason. Or wait, is he? No, he's a free agent, isn't he? Is Anthony a free agent in the offseason?
Who?
I think Anthony so. Davis. Anthony Davis.
No. No, he can get traded. After
That's why they didn't do the deal, was because he still has next year on the Pelicans contract.
Homie, this is happening. I'm telling you, this is going to happen.
I don't think the Celtics are going to get him, if I'm going to be completely honest. I think Danny Ainge was just screwing with him, just like how I think Dell Demps was screwing with the Lakers.
Danny Ainge does a lot.
Because Dell Demps was just like, yeah, we'll trade him, just keep offering those packages, yeah. And then they messed up the young core, and they all got worried they were going to get traded, and that really messed up their chemistry. I don't know if you saw LeBron. He was sitting like at the very edge of the bench. There were like 3 empty seats all the young players and LeBron. And that was all Dell Demps, because he made everything so public. Yeah. And I think he did a good job of kind of screwing the organization up, honestly. And I think Dan. Yeah, we're going to give you Jason Tatum. Just wait until the offseason. And then when it gets there, it's going to be like, I'll give you Jaylen Brown like 2 first rounders.
Yeah. That's why I love the man.
He's going to be like, well, you tricked me.
And I love him so much for that. Yeah, I think let's get into it. So, the Lakers and Anthony Davis. There was a lot of speculation on, and beyond the main story being Los Angeles was willing to literally give away their entire team for Anthony Davis, and New Orleans just wanted nothing to do with it. In fact, they were ignoring phone calls from LA at one point, saying we just don't want anything to do with this. So obviously Anthony Davis didn't get traded. Just in this whole Anthony Davis conversation, what can we expect for the offseason alone, for the Pelicans the rest of the season, and possibly for the Lakers moving forward if they're going to keep trying for Anthony Davis? I'll throw it out there that one thing I noticed in the package, that there was never really a standout player that stood above the rest, just a bunch of young assets and some draft picks. So I don't know. Like, that was just what I noticed. What are your guys' thoughts on the Anthony Davis conversation going forward?
You want to start, Chris?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if I were the Pelicans, I mean, the Lakers offers that I saw were just absolutely insane. And I don't know why the Pelicans didn't take them. But I understand it's the Lakers, and nobody wants to see them good again. So, I don't know. It was kind of surprising that he didn't go, and I understand that he wants to go. I don't really know exactly what's going to happen now for the rest of the year with AD, with the Pelicans. From my understanding, he still wants to play.
He said he wants to, yeah.
But it's a matter of if the Pelicans are actually going to play him.
If they'll get him out of timeout.
Because he's been healthy scratches recently.
Yeah.
I think they should send him home.
Yeah. I think in the offseason he'll find a new home.
Could they do that? Literally just say don't come?
Yeah. You can do that.
Wow.
They almost should. Because, I mean, if he plays, then they're not going to get as good a draft pick as they would without him.
Yeah,
they're not going anywhere this year.
They have their first round pick, so fair. Do tank, yeah. Do it.
Yeah, I
mean, you don't have a great record. You can still maybe get like the fourth. You can still get like the fifth or sixth best odds if you lose a bunch of games.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
And speaking of AD and the Lakers, there's a headline on Bleacher Report how the Lakers traded for a big man. No, not that big man. It was Mike Muscala. They got, and they traded Michael Beasley and Ivica Zubac, yep. Who are both better players than Melo.
Huh. Well, here's the thing. Michael Beasley said that he wanted to beat up Luke Walton. That is a quote that he said.
What a legend.
He hated Luke Walton.
And now he's got Doc Rivers, so that's a little better.
He wanted to beat him up. So I was like, that's fair.
Get him out. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
JaVale McGee were really mad about Luke Walton. And then private interview or something. It was really funny.
What's your take, Matt? What do you think?
Okay. So here's the deal with Anthony Davis. I think the Pelicans just got swindled hard by the entire NBA. That's what I think. Listen, he's got 1 year on his contract, and I think Paul George gave people hope that you could like trade for a guy who has his mindset, you can change it. I don't know if Paul George is like, I think Paul George is going to regret that here in a year or two. Once he plays with Russell Westbrook for about 4 years and he's like, oh, this sucks. I hate this. I thought I would like this more than I do. I don't think that's going to be the norm. I think wherever he goes, unless he goes to Boston with Kyrie, who signed long-term, that is the only way I see him, like, re-signing with a team other than the Lakers. The yeah. only way is if they re-sign Kyrie to a big deal, they get Anthony Davis, and they pretty much immediately say, you want to extend your contract? Build around you? It's the only way I see it. Any other team, doesn't matter. If the Celtics lose Kyrie, doesn't matter. He's not staying there either. So, yeah, I think they got played hard. I think a bunch of GMs were like, don't give in to the Lakers. Popovich called Dell Demps and was like, don't trade them. They're trying to force you to trade them. And it's like, yeah, but if Danny Ainge says, I'm not giving you Jason Tatum, the Lakers have all the leverage in the world.
True.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. What,
no other team is going to trade for him. And now they can be like, how about Lonzo in a first?
Yeah, that's a great point.
And then what are they going to do? Say, no, we're going to lose our franchise player for literally nothing? The Lakers will be like, all right, cool, Kyrie. You know, anybody else.
And that's
else.
Basically what's happening right now.
Right?
They didn't trade for anybody. So they're basically going to lose Anthony Davis for nothing.
Unless they re-sign Kyrie and Danny Ainge trades Jason Tatum to the Pelicans. That is the only way. This works out for the Pelicans, and I give that like a 15% chance of happening.
Nah, it's slim. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Slim. So, I don't know if this was a good deal, honestly. I do have faith in the young pieces of the Lakers. I do. I think Lonzo can be very good. I think Kyle Kuzma could be very good. I really do think that, especially if they're in a situation where they don't need to win. I don't know if they're really ready to win right now, but I think they could be great players. And I think they might have missed the chance, especially if the Lakers signed like Kimball Walker, or if they signed like Jimmy Butler, if they signed someone that like makes it so it's like, we don't need Anthony Davis. Like,
yeah,
LeBron, we have a legit two, and we have a good young core. We don't need Anthony Davis. And then all of a sudden, the Pelicans are just like, oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah, shafted.
We have no assets, and we're going to lose Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Literally screwed.
Yeah. So there's a shot it works out, but I think it may end up being a bad deal for Dell Demps. And I think he's going to lose his job over it, if I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah. He hasn't handled the situation very well.
I think it's going to bite him in the butt, how public he made it and the thing that he tried to do. And then I think he's going to end up making a really bad deal for Anthony Davis. And then they're going to basically say, you gave away Anthony Davis for almost nothing. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, did you mess this up?
It should be a blockbuster deal, and it doesn't look like it's going to be that way. So
teams are smarter than the Pelicans. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, most of the teams are smarter than the Pelicans.
I think the Clippers back in the day did a physical on Eric Gordon, and they were like, he can't even pass a physical.
Yeah.
3,000 assets. And then
great
it worked.
Point.
Like, okay.
I mentioned last week how the Pelicans were my most disappointing team this year, and they've kind of proven my case with that trade not happening. Yeah.
It's good take.
Yeah.
So moving forward, a little something more lighthearted before we move into a final discussion that I know is going to end in some smoke. The All-Star Draft, it got finished, what, like 10 minutes ago. I just want to start off, before we read through the roster, Giannis, I just saw on Twitter, Giannis called out LeBron on live television for tampering. That happened, and this is why I love the NBA so freaking much.
That's awesome.
So I'll read through the roster really quick. LeBron drafted, and he had the first pick. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson. Why am I blanking on his first
name?
Damian Lillard. This is Dame on Bleacher Report. I'm like, who the hell is Dame? Ben Simmons, LaMarcus Aldridge, Karl Anthony Towns, Bradley Beal, and Dwayne Wade. Giannis drafted Steph Curry, Embiid, Paul George, Kemba, Chris Middleton, Jokic. I never pronounce his name right. Yes, that guy. Actually, Ben Simmons, or LeBron traded Ben Simmons, or Russell Westbrook for Ben Simmons, so that happened. There was a trade in the All-Star draft. So Giannis got Russ, Blake Griffin, D'Lo, Vucevic, Kyle Lowry, and Dirk Nowitzki. So basically, LeBron's going to dominate, in my honest opinion.
Most likely.
What are your thoughts on this roster?
Kyle Lowry, I'll maintain the fact, being in that game is a joke.
Yes.
He's having one of the worst statistical years of his career.
Did you replace for him?
He's the reason why they're not in first place. Like, the roster's talented. They have playoff experience. They're set up perfectly. But Kyle Lowry's shooting at a very low percentage, and he's not playing very well.
Mm.
There's a bunch of other point guards, or just guards in general, that deserve that spot other than Kyle Lowry.
If you could pick, right? Okay, nice.
There you go.
Nice.
He's like third or fourth in the league in three-point percentage, and he's a really, really awesome piece next to Giannis.
Yeah. Chris, who's a snub? Snub. Who's a stub? God, what's the word?
Snub was the correct one.
Snub. That's what I thought. Jeez. Who's an all-star snub that you would put in for a joke that got picked in?
A joke. I like what Luka Doncic has done this year.
Me too.
I would have liked to have seen him in there. I think D'Angelo Russell was a surprise to me, but I didn't realize how good he's been this year. So
yes,
he deserves to be in there. Put Luka over Kyle Lowry for sure. I like how Adam Silver added D Wade and Dirk in there as special additions,
being that
that's their last year, and to honor them and let them go out like that. That's awesome. It's a class act move. But yeah, take Kyle Lowry out, put Luka in there. I think that's better.
Nice.
But it could happen. If there's an injury, stick him in there. He deserves it. Dude's only 19, and he's just balling out there.
Nice. All right.
I wish the Kings were represented in this All-Star game.
Yeah, especially because they're on the come up.
Especially De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. They're both having incredible years. Just really hoping one of them would make it.
Oh, yeah. They've been killing it recently. They're like highlighted. So this is funny. The Kings Twitter page, it was a couple days ago. They tweeted out, you know, that they're going to be posting only the highlights, the big moments from the game. And in the ultimate troll, this guy or girl, whoever is the social media manager, was just tweeting out things like, DeAndre Fox hits a screen. And this guy took an inbound pass. Nice rebound by this guy. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Awesome. I was like, I'm following this page from now on. This is amazing. So awesome. Really, really good move for a team that, as we've said three times now, is on the come up. And I'm a fan of the Sacramento team. I like what they're doing on social media and on the court. All right.
I want to backtrack just real quick.
Go for it.
The reason why, for everyone out there, why Zach said that Giannis said that LeBron was tampering is because he drafted Anthony Davis and Klay Thompson,
who are
rumored to go to the Lakers this offseason. And he also drafted Kyrie, who maybe they'll have a reunion at some point. I don't know. But I can see why Giannis he's just, you know, messing around with him. But, I mean,
can you imagine?
For a reason.
Can we just sit here and think about Kyrie is probably, there's a good chance he's going to leave. There's a good chance he's going to stay. But let's just look at the grand picture here. If Kyrie Irving were to leave Boston after all the stuff he said a couple months ago, the entire state of Massachusetts will have him. Like, he's going to be he's going to have security.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he's going to have to have people. That will be, I will be on this boat too, but that will be the ultimate backstabbing move on a franchise saying, I can't wait to work with Gordon. Like, and Gordon Hayward has been struggling, but he's going to get better. And we're looking into the future here. We're looking into future moves. Oh, Bronny wants me back. Let's do this thing, man. And not only, how can you trust him as a player committing to a team after that? And honestly, I look at LeBron like, look, props to you, bro, that you could even just be like, I'm LeBron James. And they're like, you're right, let's do this. Like, I would be so distraught to watch. I mean, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Listen. What this comes down to with Kyrie, real quick. It's a lot harder to be a leader than he thought.
It is.
You know, when you lead a team that wins 20 games in Cleveland, it's a little different than trying to lead a playoff, you know, contender. A lot different.
Yeah.
And I think he underestimated, because that was at the beginning of the year, I think he underestimated how hard that was going to be. And then I think he got halfway through the season and he was just like, I don't like this. This was a lot more fun when LeBron was doing all this nonsense. Now he's just putting up 30 points a game. That's my opinion about
that. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Before we go into the final segment, I just want to continue my weekly Destroy the Detroit Pistons segment.
Ooh,
that I'm going to start doing every week.
Drop it.
I love it so much. They made one deal during this trade deadline. They made one deal.
They made two, actually.
Oh, they got rid of Stanley Johnson.
They traded Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson.
Yes. They traded Reggie Bullock, who is their third best player. Not Reggie Jackson. Reggie Bullock. And they got Svi Vuki from Lakers, who's like a rookie who got like drafted in the second round or something. And then they let go Stanley Johnson, which I think was a good idea. Dude was garbage. But they didn't really get anything. The third best player. And I'm excited to see like how much worse Reggie Jackson's going to get without a good shooter by his side. I'm really excited to see it. It's going to be fun to watch. I want to see his three-point percentage drop down to like under like 31%. That's what I'm looking for. I'm excited.
I'm ready to see Zaza Pachulia take over that team.
I'm ready for it.
I'm actually mad. I'm happy we're sticking with this because, I mean, folks, thank you for joining us on Pissing on the Pistons with Matt. It's a fitting name. We're going to stick it out, guys. That was segment two of Pissing on the Pistons.
That team actually kind of helped get me into the NBA. Back when they had like Hamilton and Chauncey Billups and like Ben Wallace. Yeah. I loved that team growing up. I thought they were really fun. They were physical. I loved watching them.
Yeah.
And it's just fun now to look at how bad they are. Just laugh. I love it. It's
They're
great.
So bad.
They got a great front court, and that's it.
They should start John Luer next game.
Might as well just go.
What's
for
his
it.
Contract
what the
again?
Hell, you know,
13 a year,
13 million over the next 2 years.
Oh, Jesus,
my gosh,
each year. So good.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do it.
All right, Matt. So I don't know if you've been watching the news, paying attention to the news, watching SportsCenter, whatever we do.
A little bit.
Kevin Durant he's been talking a little bit recently, but he made a comment. And I'm going to keep it very short. I got one thing to say on this, and I'm going to let Matt take over. Kevin Durant came out a couple days ago. Sources said that Kevin Durant, the Knicks are a possibility for Kevin Durant. I don't know who in his camp said it, but because it came out that way, you have to think Kevin Durant did say that at some point recently, that the Knicks are a possibility. So... And after the game last night, Kevin Durant came out and said, in regards to the media and their quote-unquote constant questions at these players, let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk in regards to this free agency talk, when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. He went on to say, I don't want to trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it gets twisted. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. So we can understand his frustration here. He's been getting free agency questions. Also, and this is a quote from Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated. He said, it's easy to understand KD's frustration. He's been getting a lot of free agency questions all season, everywhere he goes. But it's fallout from the short-term contracts he's been signing. His determination to keep flexibility, which is perfectly reasonable, keeps talk of his future out there. So, Matt, my question for you, does all this fall back on the media, me talking about the questions and constant badgering of KD, where are you going, or is Kevin Durant to blame? You can be as objective as you are, as unobjective as you want to be on this. I just want to hear your thoughts on this. Yeah, do you blame the media or do you blame Kevin Durant?
Okay, so the media, this is kind of weird. In the past like year or two, the media's taken this weird turn where all these players have like camps, and there's a lot of people in these camps that like to talk to the media, so they spread a lot of stuff and they spread a lot of rumors around. Honestly, the media is there for entertainment. It's what they do. Okay. Do you think Skip Bayless actually knows about basketball? You're an idiot. Of course not. Stephen A. Smith just sits there and yells all day. You know what I mean? They don't actually know what they're talking about, right? But it's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to because they give you all these possibilities. And then you listen to Max Kellerman get heated about the Knicks and he's like screaming for like 6 minutes and it's fun to watch, right? The media is there for entertainment, right? So first of all, Kevin Durant needs to calm down. When you take a bunch of 1 and 2 year deals, this is what you do. Especially when you and Draymond get in a huge fight in the middle of a game. This stuff is going to happen. It's not that big of a deal. You just say, I'm focused on this year. I'm focused on the Golden State Warriors winning a third title. That's all you say. They blow it by you. That's fine. But Kevin Durant is so worried about what people think about him. He's so worried by it. He went to Golden State to be like, people say I can't be better than LeBron if I don't win a ring. So I'm going to go win some rings. He goes to a 73-9 team to go win some rings. And then people say, well, I mean, those rings don't really mean anything because you went to the Warriors. Like, it doesn't mean anything. And now he's like, the media is unfair. And it's like, who cares, dude? Man up. Who cares if you think the media is unfair? Who cares? It doesn't matter. You're making how much money to play a game?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. Just because he gets asked these questions doesn't mean he needs to give it any, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean he needs to give it any time of day. In fact, if he just shoots it down, then it actually will help him and his team. If he's just like, yo, I'm not going to talk about it. Like, I'm here, and I'm focused on our team right now, and we're going to win a championship, right? That's all you have to say. Kevin Durant's to blame here. He constantly signed one-year deals, and somebody from his camp is also to blame because they're leaking stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you never know who it is. All these guys have camps now, which is weird. Mm-hmm. I guess they make so much money that, like, they can, but, like, a little weird.
So, with all that being said, you know, we're not going to have a history lesson here, but the media in sports is brought up, you know, if without the media, we're just watching guys play basketball and going up and down the court, and that's it. We just watch them on TV.
Exactly.
The media comes in to, you know, bring some flesh, bring more flesh into their characters, you know, say, oh, these are, you know, this is what, you know, if they're good media personnel, that they aren't there just to rash on them and bring them down, but they're there to get questions answered and say, you know, hey, Kevin, you mentioned something about the Knicks and everybody's already thinking about it. So I'm going to be in this, forgot his name, but the guy who brought it up, he said, I'm going to bring it up and let's talk about it since you brought it up. And this, not even just with Kevin Durant, but with, there's a lot of other athletes that the finger can be pointed at this for. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, sure, the media can be to blame at times, you know, for being too brash. And we're not talking about your first takes or your undisputed, your talk shows here. And then we're talking about journalists that are at the press conferences asking the questions in this case. Sure, there might be to blame sometimes. If we remember John Jones's press conference before his UFC fight against who did he beat?
Gustafson.
He homie was on roids. He's been on roids recently for performance enhancing drugs, and this has been a topic that we have known about for a very long time because he's constantly been tested positive for it. And he comes out and just trashes the poor journalist that just wants to know the answers. I think that's the one downside of being in the spotlight. And this could go for musicians. This could go for actors and actresses. Just the spotlight of Hollywood and in sports, especially with a team like Golden State, who's been, you know, big for so many years now, that this is the downside of having the spotlight. And the question needs to be asked, can you handle it before being brought into the spotlight? But if you look at a guy like Kevin Durant, he was raised as like the hometown hero. You know, he was raised as like from a small market, and then you bring him into a big market, and then we're a little bit surprised that he can't handle it, you know? Like, and it's we're kind of being, you know, as Matt said, we're you know, like he's completely to blame for this.
I'm not surprised at all he can't handle it. Kevin Durant was the fakest nice guy in OKC. Listen, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I like to think I'm a pretty good judge of character.
Yeah.
So Kevin Durant was like being all goody-goody, being all nice, and I was like, he's not that. The dude is a dick. Everybody's going to know it. I know it's true. And then I had a friend, Michael, who was just like, Kevin Durant's the nicest guy in the NBA. And I was like, you're an idiot. He's the worst guy in the NBA. And then he finally, like, one of his last years in OKC, he was basically like, I'm going to start being who I really am. And I was like,
Matt, didn't you predict that John Jones isn't actually a good guy back when he first came? That's another,
2011 or 2010, like 9 years ago.
When he first came out, yeah.
I saw him walk, and I was like, this dude's a dick. I was like, this dude's not a good person. He's a bad, this is the type of guy that's going to hit you with his car and run away with a bunch of cocaine. This is the good type of guy that's going to do that.
Yeah.
And then he did it.
Props to you, Matt, on being able to judge the character of these guys.
I don't know. It's just luck. I dislike guys, and sometimes it comes true. But honestly, like, he's done everything in his power to be like an antagonist in the basketball world. Everything in his power. And then he hates it when like people call him that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be like it's like a real life Darth Vader situation. And he'd get all pouty and all cry, all sad when someone called him a bad guy. And it's like, you're an idiot. Like, you lied to OKC multiple times. You lied to the front office. You lied to players in the league. And then you jump on a 73-9 team. Like, what do you expect to happen? Like, I wish people would just be honest in the sports world.
Yeah.
Like, I often think about what if players are just like, people got asked them a question and they were just like, you know, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, let's have like an actual interview right now. Let's do it. Like, that'd be great. That'd be so much better TV. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. I
think that the maybe one of the reasons we don't get, you know, and to flip it a little bit, the conversation of why we don't get a lot of interviews like that is because you have to look at the people who are conducting the interviews. You know, a lot of the times when there are guys like, like from Barstool Sports, Jared Carrabas from the Red Sox, he has relationships with the players in the Red Sox, and they come to him as friends, and they talk to him. The interviews for Section 10 podcast that they do are genuine. You know, he got J.D. Martinez to say, "I can't wait to beat the Yankees before the postseason," because that was a genuine interview. But then you get, I can't think of any names off the top of my head. But
your average like beat reporter.
Who just that are just there to get the interview, get the word out, and go home. So maybe that's why we don't get a lot of the honesty. Because if someone walked up to you and be like, "Hey, what are your plans for the future?" Be like, "Whoa, well, I mean, I don't know. But I know what I say is going to go out to millions of people.
Right.
So I'm gonna, you know, bullshit the words a little bit, and I'm gonna conduct it here and there. But you know, I'm not going to give you the whole truth. And I'm sure someone from my camp nowadays is going to release half of the truth. That's not all the truth. So, you know what? This is going back to what we said earlier. This is why sports has become a full-fledged business nowadays, like Wall Street, where there's just so many different aspects that go into the game nowadays that some of it's corrupt, some of it's honest. And it's not just in the NBA, the NFL. Oh my God, don't even get us started about the NFL. But it's sports nowadays, and we can complain and whine all about it, but you know what? Every good movie needs a bad guy.
Exactly.
In this case, why do you think people want Golden State to lose so badly? Because of Kevin Durant. And you know what? You know what's going to happen if and when the Warriors eventually don't win, or don't go to a finals appearance, or don't win the finals? We're going to rejoice, and we're going to be so happy.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of sports, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say that greatness is fun to watch and all that nonsense that's garbage spewing out of their mouths. Look how much more fun the East is this year without LeBron there.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
The 1 year. All of a sudden now, all these teams are competitive, and it's like the East is so much fun. It's crazy how fun the East is now that LeBron is out of it.
Yep.
And you saw people like Colin Cowherd just like, "Greatness is so fun to watch." And it's like, you're garbage. No, it's not. Greatness is boring.
Yeah.
Greatness is boring to watch at the time, and then it's good to look back on and respect it. But nobody likes to watch greatness. It sucks. Nobody liked to watch Kobe back in his heyday. Everybody hated the Lakers. Everybody hated the Heatles when they had the big three in Miami. And now everybody hated the Celtics when they had the big three. And then everybody now hates the Warriors.
And even going to New England, like when they won the Super Bowl, it felt like a week two win, like a 13 or 13 win. Like it was just like handshakes and all right, congratulations. Like if the Rams would have won, it would have been, oh my God. Like, because that's not, and sure, New England was just barely, they had the betting lines just over by just a little bit. I think it was like two, but still, that would have been an upset if LA would have won. Nobody expected LA to actually win.
It's like New England.
Let's go do it again next year, boys.
Sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I will say, though, if Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, I think the NBA will be all around better.
Yeah.
I think that's my point. I also wanted to transition about how I think the NBA is rigged, but. Chris, what's up?
For KD, you know, I feel like if LeBron was in his situation and the media was asking him questions about this, he'd just be like, "Shut up, I'm not answering your questions."
I know, exactly. Yeah,
literally,
he'd just be a man and just be like, "I'm not answering your questions, we're moving on."
Yeah,
you know. And also another solution, maybe Kevin Durant should try to sign long term. Maybe
That would
and then he wouldn't have those questions?
Right.
Because he keeps signing, 1-2 year deals?
Yeah.
That's why he keeps getting these questions. Just sign a dang 5-year, $255 million contract. I don't know. Something ridiculous.
You can't get that much.
So, I'm just exaggerating.
You can't get the Supermax. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Just sign long term, and then you don't have to worry about it. Or just say, "Shut up, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to answer your questions about free agency."
He's doing the ladder.
No. Right. Exactly. I agree.
So, Matt, the NBA is rigged?
A little bit, yeah. Listen, man, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but just hear me out for like 2 seconds before we end the show.
Okay.
Scottie Pippen on Get Up just explains in detail how to stop James Harden. He has One, two, three, four bullet points. This is how you stop him in the Rockets. The next game, Brett Brown has Corey Brewer do all four steps, and they just dominate and roll over the Rockets.
Oh, no.
They beat him by like 30 points, and it's like, okay, the league knows how to beat him now. Scottie Pippen probably like cheated a little bit, but like, okay, it's over.
He probably just won himself a head coaching job.
The next team they played, they did not do one thing that Corey Brewer did the entire game at all. He just showed how to beat the Rockets, and the next coach was just like, I don't need to do that. And the Rockets won the game. And it's like, how bad? These coaches are getting paid millions of dollars. Are you kidding me? Are you serious right now? You stand on his left side, you let him drive. He can't pull up because then you just block the ball away. Every time he gets the ball in the front court, you just get in his way and like be physical before he even gets the ball. You just stick to him the entire game. You never let him out of your sight. And he put up like 24 points and was horrible. And it's like, how is this not? They played the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard didn't even, he did not touch him before the half court line one time the whole game. And I was like, what? What? You're a giant wing who's supposed to be able to play defense, and you just let James Harden do whatever he wants. Good job.
Just easily annoy him too.
Yeah.
Frank Mason for the Kings the other night, he like swiped at his beard barely, yeah. And so James Harden just like, ugh, throw the ball right in his
shoes,
and then they start getting into a verbal argument.
Yeah,
I love to hate James Harden. So
Corey
much.
Brewer was like, he was like putting his body like in front of James' stomach before the inbounds.
Yeah,
just, like, putting his arms on. It was amazing. If you, I suggest watch those highlights. It's like the most satisfying highlights you'll ever
that
watch.
That whole game was awesome.
It's so funny. And then he goes to like get a layup, and then Joel Embiid just like destroys him and blocks the ball
gives
away.
Gives him a stare down.
It's my favorite highlights of the season. Is whenever James Harden gets wrecked, because I feel like it's not even that hard to stop him specifically. Because like Scottie Pippen said, there's just a couple things you do, and it nullifies all of his offense. And then teams just don't do it. And it's
he's
like
not really that physically gifted either. He's just a very creative player who knows how to take advantage of everybody.
He agrees.
It's really so, like, and then he can travel all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 It's double step backs.
He's giving him another MVP, and he's doing it in a way that just like I think is just like the fault of the coaches. Because you can stop him and you can beat the Rockets pretty easily. Like other teams, like bad teams have done it. And like decent teams, like the, you know what I mean? Like, the, you know, like the Clippers. And it's like, you can beat this team. It's not that hard. But it coaches just don't do it. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, they played the Hawks one game and Torian Prince just like didn't guard him. And I was like, what is happening? Why is Trae Young on James? What am I watching?
This is why I think, Matt, you should just, like, throw all your chips in and just become an NBA coach. You know, start a high school, work your way up.
Smart.
Just break the conspiracies out, man. Like, break the mold. Go do it.
We'll be your assistants. We'll draw up some plays for you.
I don't get it. Just floppy every play.
Easy. I'll be your GM that doesn't make any moves at the trade deadline and talks about it.
You know? Floppy and Spider 2 Wide Banana. The basketball version.
Let's just change. Let's change. Let's do a petition. Let's change. The lockdown's taking over sports. We're doing it.
Do it.
Speaking of taking over, you know, we're on a lot of outlets. Did you know that?
Are we really? I didn't know that. What are we?
A lot of So like, yeah, like with podcasts, you know, there's platforms for it.
Are there really? Do people like listen to these?
They do listen. They listen to these things. It's crazy. Yeah. They're not just, you know, telepathically listening to us right now. It's insane. Hey, we are on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Spot. Oh, no! We're on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Peace.